You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, welcome back to the Dungeon of Doom. I am Kyle Meinke, Lions beat writer for MLive, joined as always by Ben Raven. Ben, it is December 21. The Lions are still in first place. They've been nowhere but this entire season. I haven't looked it up, but I'm pretty sure going to wire in the division is something that's unseen in this town. Certainly having a three-game lead in the division this late in the season, it's a team record. Three games to go. Magic number is one. Could punch their ticket to the playoffs this week, depending on what happens tonight on Thursday Night Football. But either way, they are one victory away from not only the postseason, but winning their first division title since 1993 and hosting the first ever playoff game in Ford Field history. How does it feel? It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
I know. I'm very excited to be in Minnesota this weekend. The prospects of covering a division champion winning locker room was something I didn't really think was possible. I mean, because honestly, the first 4 years I spent on this beat, they had never been out of last place past Thanksgiving once. So, like, to have a season like this, not once.
When you put it like that.
Not once.
Holy crap.
So it's a really special opportunity here. They know it. They're saying all the right things about it. Aiden Hutchinson gave into it a little bit more yesterday because he knows how special it is. He compared it to the Michigan streak he helped snap a couple years ago. They hadn't won a Big Ten title in 20 years. And he's like, man, to have a chance to be a part of another one of those here, like, that's special, man, no doubt.
We got a deep mailbag coming up this week, some audio from none other than CD Deuce, who we talked to this week in the locker room. It was a trip, as you can imagine. He's the biggest mouth in the league, I swear to God. But Ben, you said something that it's interesting to me that, like you just said, you've been around for a long time at this point, and you hadn't been around a Lions team and been anywhere but last place after Thanksgiving. The losing goes so deep with this team. And when I think about it from the player perspective, that locker room, that roster is filled with guys who are in the same boat. And that's like a really interesting dynamic to me, as you know, the pressure goes up, the stakes go up down the stretch. How does this team react? It's a big unknown. Some of these guys, Jared Goff in particular, CJ Gardner-Johnson as well. Some of these guys have been around winning teams. CJ Gardner-Johnson's in year five in the league, and he's never not won a division title. So there's guys for them to lean on. But when you think about the foundation of this team, guys like Frank Ragnow, you know, guys like, you know, you mentioned Penei Sewell, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, Ali McNeil on the defense, like there's so many guys on this team, important players on this team that know nothing but last place football. And now they are in some uncharted territory with 3 weeks to go, the stakes rising. It's going to be really interesting to see how this team reacts.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Like you said, I think they do have experience at all the right spots, like having a quarterback who's started a Super Bowl game, still in the prime of his career. Like, that's obviously a big get. But, like, even the coaching staff, like this, I mean, yeah, Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn, success in New Orleans, but Ben Johnson's been in Detroit for a while. They've never been in these positions of power when, like, enjoying this amount of success. So it's going to be very interesting. Like, not every one of these guys had sustained college success either. So it's like, this is new. This is very fascinating. And then, I mean, like we said last week, it's one of the five youngest rosters in football. And it's like,
yeah,
and those that have been here, it's been nothing but last place football. Like, they've never played meaningful December football games. So they're learning as they go. And that could be good in some scenarios. It could be challenging in others. And we'll see this weekend against a team starting Nick Mullins that they should beat, how they come out and perform in that one.
Something, and again, we'll dive into the mailbag here in a second, but something that CJ Gardner-Johnson said that struck me this week, that this guy has been, he won four straight division titles in New Orleans. He won a division title last year in Philly. So this is number six for him coming up. But, you know, he said something to the effect of, you know, for a team that has never won, winning a division title is an important step toward winning. Like, he said, he's going to cry when they win their first title since 93, even though this is something it's all he knows in the NFL. But that struck me, Ben, because I think it's pretty often in the league where there are levels to winning, and it's hard to go from the very bottom, which obviously the Lions have occupied for forever, to the very top. It usually happens in tiers. And I think that you might see that with this Lions team. You know, they win a division title, make the playoffs. Maybe they even win a playoff game. But when you go up against a team like the 49ers, for example, that has filled a locker room, that knows exactly what to expect from playoff football, how that goes down, the different intensity, the different margins, the pressure, everything else, I do wonder if they're going to, you know, hit their head on the glass ceiling at some point. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, like this has been a tremendous step forward. I think we both thought what they're doing was possible this year, but I don't think anyone thought Lions Super Bowl going into the year, not in a realistic sense. There's a lot to feel encouraged about where this rebuild is. They're right on time, ahead of time, maybe. But if you're talking about going all the way, because of the defense, the lack of playoff experience, some of the key injuries they have, I don't know, you know, I just don't know if it's in the cards for them to go all the way. But
yeah,
it's been a hell of a season.
No doubt.
Hell of a ride.
A historic franchise. I mean, a banner, potentially banner hanging season. There have not been many of those. The banners hanging in Ford Field are ancient and old and dusty. But like, to your point, the parallels I draw the Lions closest to around the league is that Jacksonville Jaguars squad. Like, the Jaguars win their division last year. They host a playoff game. They win one, and then they get beat down in the divisional round. I'm not saying that's exactly what's going to happen here, but that track, like you said, the tiers to success, the tiers to experience, they're winning a division. That's nothing to overlook. That's nothing to scoff at for any team out there. So, like,
particularly this one.
Particularly this one. When you walk
into the team meeting room and they got the years 1993, 1991, and 1957 painted on the back, and it's not for very good reasons. No. You know, you walk into that practice facility, it's very lonely in the rafters. You walk into Ford Field, there are cobwebs in the rafters of Ford Field. They'll raise a banner next year. I think we're pretty certain of that, barring just a cataclysmic finish to this season. But there's still work to be done. All right, let's roll into the mailbag. We got so many good questions. Don't we run out of time? Yeah. So let's start with CD Doo, CJ Gardner-Johnson, whatever the hell you want to call him. Clearly one of the most entertaining human beings in the league.
Unbelievable.
Was voted by players across the league, according to The Athletic, as the biggest trash talker. And as a one-year veteran of watching this guy in training camp, I can confirm watching him hassle McManus, the kicker from Jacksonville. I mean, was just a delight. I wish I could tell people the things that I heard. The team rules do not allow it, but this dude is intense. He's funny. He's witty. He messes with people. And for a team, like John Kaminsky said just the other week in Chicago, we got to get our swagger back. We've lost our swagger on defense. We saw a really nice bounce back performance last week. But what this team misses on defense, I mean, it's a lot. But aside from talent and everything else, steady pass rush, cornerbacks who have consistent. Like, besides all of that, like, they really do need swagger. They need edge and attitude. And these are things that, that this is what CD Doo, CJ Gardner-Johnson, whatever you want to call him, brings. And now he's back. And it's a crazy story, Ben, because like, he was given a timetable of 6 months to come back from the torn pec that he suffered in week 2. First of all, Ben, he played through the pec injury. He had a torn pectoral muscle in week 2, and he finished the game and played pretty well. Doctors told him 6 months to come back. He is now back on the practice field in just over 3 months. It's a crazy story. Let's get to some questions. Oh yeah, mutant genes, as Campbell put it, and it's spot on. Hearing his story about how he came back is pretty crazy. Like he has a, like he said, $200,000-$300,000 like facility and that he built in his home, pools, spa, you know, spas, massage table, 60-yard football field, like you name it, he's got it. And he basically said he went home and just got bored as hell, yeah. Staring at the walls. Watching TV is boring. It's sad, is what he said.
The void.
Yeah, exactly. And he filled it by hitting up his trainer and be like, yo, let's just work. And now he's back. And I don't think, well, let's just get into some questions. Yeah. These questions will answer what we're talking about. Chris Matthews asks, is it a real possibility for CD Deuce to play this week or next? And if he does, who sits? Iffy, Melifonwu just played a great game. Branch has played well. Kirby seems to have his position locked down. How do you see CD Deuce fitting into the rotation when he's back?
I have a hard time figuring out when that might be. I can pretty safely say it won't be this weekend. That would be wild and seems impossible, but that's a good question. I do think it'll be Melifonwu. Like maybe they rotate those guys and try and figure it out and try and like work Gardner Johnson back in. But like, as we said to before here, like, that's not a guy who needs to like come on slowly. You know, it's a 5-year vet that's won 5 or 6 division titles now. So like get him out there. If he's ready to go, get him out there. But I do think it'll be for Melifonwu. But like,
yeah,
because the combination of CD Deuce and Kirby Joseph is just, I mean, we saw that in training camp and like that's why we felt like this defense could be something. That's why we felt like this defense could create a ton of takeaways and stuff like that. So like, you can get those two back out there with Branch in the slot. That's a good deal right there.
Yeah. And without CD Deuce, who led the league in picks last year, the Lions went, I don't know, like 2 months without getting a takeaway from their safety rank. That's just not what you would expect from a, you know, when you bring in a guy like CD Deuce and you have a guy coming back like Kirby Joseph, who led the team in picks last year as a rookie. Yeah, there's been a drop off there. They haven't got what they expected. He's going to play safety when he's ready to. It's going to be with Kirby Joseph. But Melifonwu has played really well. And it's good to have depth in this league, particularly in the secondary. You can mix and match and do different things. You can play CD Deuce in the slot, you know, in different matchup scenarios. Gives you a lot of flexibility, more depth, more playmaking ability. And again, swagger, man. And that's like, they really do lack swagger. They don't have an edge or an attitude on that side of the ball. And they do have good games. They played a great game last week. But they need more and they need attitude, someone who's going to show his teeth. And that's exactly what CD Deuce does. Joseph Martin asks, I'm thinking CD Deuce's return likely means Melifonwu goes back to the bench, but with Deuce on just a 1-year deal, do you think the Lions would feel good about Iffy and Kirby as the starting safeties in 2024, or is Iffy likely going to continue as a depth piece?
You know, I think they would feel all right if they could get a full offseason and training camp of Melifonwu and Kirby as the safeties back there, but I think they will explore to add. I mean, you have to be deeper. I mean, that's what we're talking about this season. The defensive deficiencies has been lack of depth in the secondary. So get, whether it's through the draft, whether you're bringing Gardner Johnson or Deuce back on another 1-year deal, bring back depth, but like definitely give Melifonwu a chance. I think it'll be the last year of his rookie contract. They obviously believe in this guy, the first piece taken in the Stafford trade, a 3rd-round pick in their first draft. Like you see it, he looks like a creative prospect guy. It's just all been about durability for him. So like that's what you don't feel good about if those are your top two going into the season. That's why I think it's really important to bring CD back or find another piece to compete for one of those two jobs.
I agree. Like, listen, we've seen two solid games from Melifonwu. Yeah. I thought he was particularly good last week in the big win. And I just don't think you make long-term decisions based on a 2-game or a 4-game or a 5-game sample size from a guy who's really done nothing before that. And even if Melifonwu blew up here in the final month or made some like amazing run in the playoffs, you need depth. You need, like, there's a reason they brought Deuce in the first place. He's one of the league's best playmakers. He brings tons of edge. He's got flexibility. You can play him all over the secondary. It makes too much sense for him to come back. And I actually think if there's one piece of silver lining in the injury, it's that it probably increases the likelihood that he's back next year. Mm-hmm. Like he wanted to go back to Philly last offseason. Contract negotiations broke down. The Eagles kind of got over being in limbo with him. They had to make moves on other contract situations, including Jalen Hurts, Darius Slay, and so forth. And so they basically just moved on without him, leaving Deuce kind of to look for his next gig. And so that's a big reason why the Lions landed him in the first place, was he kind of just wanted to cash in on a one-year deal, prove this year what he is, and then get that long-term big money deal next offseason. Now that he's had the injury, only played a couple of games, we'll see what he does down the stretch. But clearly this has hurt his ability to land that big money long-term deal next offseason. I think it'll suppress the high-end money that he could have gotten otherwise, money that might be hard to pay a guy when you still have to pay Jared Goff. Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to make $1 billion next summer. Penei Sewell is coming down the pipe. Like, I just don't know if Deuce would have been in the cards, but maybe now if they can get him on another one year kind of deal as he tries to, you know, prove himself and get that high end money. I could definitely see that happening. He's a great fit for the culture. The Lions want him. He's a great player. Malfanu has played well, but that doesn't preclude you from acquiring and keeping other good players. And that's what sets you up for success in a league where there's 100% injury rate.
Yeah, I'm fully on board. I agree with all that, with another one-year deal for Deuce to get him back here. The comfort with Campbell, the comfort with Glenn, they know who he is. They know what he's about. This is a good safety valve spot for him to try and get that long-term deal down the line. If not, find a home somehow, some way.
Yeah. Well, like I alluded to, we had a chance to catch up with the man himself, and we hadn't seen him since the injury. I mean, he's been kind of around Allen Park here and there, but he had not been at practice that I had seen until his return from IR this week, and had definitely not been in the locker room. You would have heard him. Then we spent 15 minutes with the man in a scrum. It wasn't a one-on-one situation. It was, you know, group of reporters. He walks in the locker room. He had a crowd around him within about 30 seconds. It was I'm speaking as like an 11, 12 year veteran of the beat, like a historic press con- like not session with reporters. I was wildly entertained, and it just got more and more entertaining as the beat went on. So let's just roll the tape a little bit. Producer Patrick, good luck with editing this down. I don't know if we're using a beeper button or not, but you know, if there's kids around, maybe earmuffs, because this guy was unfiltered and it was pretty great. So here's CD Deuce, making his return to practice this week.
Truth and honestly, I'm just glad to be back in my element. I wouldn't myself been away from balls. So,
yeah.
You know, been around the guys, seeing them win, it's been keeping me up. Makes sense.
How quickly do you think you can kind of get your football legs back under you?
I'm always in shape. I played football year round. I was just in the Super Bowl, so I really ain't sit down since February. So I'll be fine.
Can you take us through the emotions of what, you know, the past 3 months has been like? I mean, to have that happen.
Lonely, dark, no ball. I'm just glad to be around my boys. You know, it's different when you ain't got the things that you're accustomed to. Waking up every morning means I had to do a whole different routine. So I think shout out to Reef, shout out to Mike them. Helped me get back faster because it was like 6 months. 6 months, that's what
you
said?
So, that's what they told you.
Yeah.
So how'd you do it? What's the key?
God, eat right, 2-a-days. I probably say I had more dark days than good days.
Really?
That makes sense.
Yeah. What, why? What was the?
I'm by myself. What you think? I'm an athlete. Everybody expects everything to be fine and dandy, but shit, you take football away, what you gonna do? It's our life. So, I mean, just being around the atmosphere and seeing my guys happy and winning, it made me happy, you know?
How much happier does it make you feel to come back to a team that's 10-4?
I'm trying to go for that one seed. That's how I feel, truthfully.
When did the dark days sort of disappear in this group? When did they realize, like, man, I'm going to be back now, you know, that it's I got over the dark days and I realized there's some brighter days ahead?
Excuse my language. I'm going to be all the way thorough. I think when we lost to Chicago, that's when I knew something was wrong. I can't tell you what's going on, offense, defense, because I was away, but I knew something was wrong. Energy wasn't the same. So I feel like I just got to come back.
That's when you sort of realize I can be back.
I'm kicking
weeks.
It in, but yeah. I'm in high gear now. So,
was it ever on your mind that you might not play again this season, or was that not even something that was on it?
Yeah, when they first told me. I told them to pick, but I played a whole game with one arm, so I mean, it don't really matter to me. He told me I'm out for a whole year. That's like, you can't get kicked anymore when you're down.
when you hear that, though? Does that drive you to an extent to get back fast?
Yeah, I think what I've been going through. I had a rough offseason. Lawsuit bull. Just lost one of my brothers. So, yeah, I think about it. Ball got took away quick. So I had to really, like, think about life and who I was. I think that's why I'm back so quick. Because of God, you know?
You are a free agent. There is maybe a little bit of risk in coming back.
I ain't worried about that, bro. You got to think about it. I'm, 5 years, 13? I'm tripping on that. If it happens, it happens. If it don't, everybody know what I can do. At this point in life, ain't no more proven who Chauncey Gardner Johnson is. Can he play safety? Can he play this? Is he a team player? Y'all know. Y'all write more good articles than bad now. So let's just call it what it is.
What was your rehab like? Like, what was a day in the life like for
Wake you? Up at 7, I'm probably done at like 9 o'clock at night. I feel like it was a void and something. Like I was trying to find something this whole time, but I think I found it here by just being here, just being in the building, just being with my teammates.
When you were away, it was just work. That was the fulfilling.
Work, boring, sad. Y'all think, well, it's boring as hell yelling at that TV, bro. Y'all think, well, it's boring yelling at that TV, but I get to yell with them now, so, you know, hopefully put on a shirt this weekend.
Plenty of yelling in the practice today?
All day. All day. That's just me. I mean, when coach is telling you contagious, and it's not just being a football player, being a player and a person, I think the joy I bring to myself, I think I should be able to spread it out this locker room, everybody smile and just understand that you don't get this opportunity to actually come back and help a team to make a run. So I'm happy. Y'all should be happy.
How'd you play through it? That's, you know.
How do I play through it? I'm gonna tell you how I play through it. I'm a dog. I don't think there's no safety better than me right now. That's why. I feel like I'm the best safety, so I gotta go out there and prove it. That's why I did it.
And physically against Seattle, though, you couldn't lift that arm? I mean, what was that? No.
God. Yeah. I was willing to hype y'all up. So,
I was gonna say, if God's helping you like that, would you please say a prayer for all of us?
Yeah, I can, man. All I said, I pray every night about this situation because it could happen again, you know? So I don't wish injury on nobody, though. And I ain't never had a serious injury, but God willing, I'm glad like it wasn't too much to take me down. It's one of those moments, like I said, it's a learning experience. You learn who you is, you got to humble up. Because like I told myself, this team is damn good without me, and they're damn good with me. And I'm just glad to be a part of something that's just thriving, that makes sense.
You seem like you're CJ, but you just talked about being grateful that it could happen again. Do you have a new mindset?
I'm scared.
Like football?
I'm scared, but it's like, I've been doing this since I was a kid, so I got to face my fear somewhere by just going out there and do what I love. So I think that was I think it's the biggest thing right now, just facing my fear, messing up again. That's all.
Fear of re-injuring it or fear of
messing up, injury, letting you guys down. Everything on your shoulders when you up here, and then when you down here, all the shoulders just gone. So I feel like being back, I just want to make my teammates proud. I don't really care about nobody else. As long as they know I'm the same person before I left, we good.
You guys feel like you're a threat in the playoffs?
That's the dumbest question. You know we're a threat. Come on, man. I say I took it what Frank said. Commish, I think Frank said we lost our swagger for a couple games. Man, lose our swagger. We got a young team. When you ain't never win so much, it's hard to keep your thoughts all in one box. So I think Coach Down would say we've been hunted. But I don't think we've been hunted. We hunting that swag still. We still hunting for what's ours. And I don't think a lot of guys understand. You're in a position right now, you can change your life. You know, you're fighting for seeds that you ain't never seen before. Like, some guys have, some guys haven't. But I think right now, it's coming tighter, tune out the noise. We got called the Kool-Aid we be drinking. Man, put that down. Just keep playing ball. Excuse my language, but it's just understanding, like, this team got a chance to change the city history and just change their history, their names, and the last name.
You are one of the guys who's seen that seed. So what does it take to get there? What does it mean when you do get there?
We got to trust each other and trust the coaches. And the coaches got to trust us, which you guys know it's not, it hasn't been. You can see it. Coaches trust us. We trust the players. And it's evident. Everybody think we one of those teams that we shouldn't be 10-4, but if we shouldn't be, we wouldn't be here right now. So I think the best opportunity for us right now is understand coaching, take the small things and keep going, because the big things not going to really affect you. The smaller things will hurt you in the long run.
You mentioned this team going out and putting on a show this weekend. If you guys do that, this team will win the division for the first time since 1993.
I might cry.
What do you mean to you?
I mean, you got to think about it. a lot of you guys, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but a lot of them haven't experienced the conference champion, you know? So this is a step of feeling like a winner. You haven't won anything, like, it's my fifth year. I don't won four divisions. No, not to throw nobody in the face, but that's the best feeling. You can home field advantage so you guys can enjoy it. It ain't for us, it's for you guys to enjoy it to help us win.
Well, what did, when the trainer told you that game that it was torn, tell me what went through your mind. What and why you
Man, we're going to finish this game.
Yeah.
If we win or we lose, they're going to know that I'm a dog, regardless if I tore it, broke it. I just want everybody to know I'm the same person. Broke arm, healed arm, whatever it's going to be, I'm out there. I'm talking the most shit and still have respect. Because everybody thought we were going to be shitty this shit. I look at my comments every day from my first sign. Enjoy being a 5-win team, 3-win team, 4-win team.
That's some bitter eagle fans.
That's how I am right now, but I'm still on my cocky, arrogant shit. That shit ain't going nowhere. I just toned it back, though.
I read the Bible, too. Make sure y'all put that in there, too.
I do.
You saw the players voted you biggest trash talker. That surprised you.
Even a little with me. Yeah, I think about it. You trash talking, you ain't backing it up. That's different. That's different. What y'all seen on camp?
Backed it up.
I played the game one arm, right?
Yeah.
TJ Watt exited the game with his peck. Who else tore a peck and left the game?
JJ.
You keep going? He's the biggest names in football.
Yeah.
How important was it for you to finish that game?
Very important. I talk all that shit, I gotta back it up. Can't, hype the crowd up and, you hurt? You a buster. Heard that song by 50 Cent? You say you a gangster, but you never pop none. You know what I'm saying? That's on all the time. They call it Wankster?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wankster. Can't be no Wankster. Yeah.
That was the face mask game. You heard the face mask back when you come back?
Bro, I ain't even gonna cap. I think that shit cursed. I ain't gonna lie to y'all, bro. I don't know. I might bring it back for my purposes.
Tired.
But for y'all, y'all blew that shit up, bro. I wanna know this serious question. I got a serious question. Why y'all so how can I say it? Why y'all so outgoing? I wanna ask one of y'all questions. Why y'all media so outgoing in Detroit?
Are other media's not like this?
Hell no.
What are they like?
Listen, I don't want to get quoted for the same thing about where I was at before. But I was on Twitch and said one wrong thing. I know y'all seen it. Yeah, they blew that shit up. So, y'all more like accepting. Y'all don't like look for no story. Y'all look for like right stuff. I fuck with you.
Are you not entertained?
Such a treat.
Are you not entertained?
Such a treat. Oh my God.
Like the NFL is just so big. Like there's so much money and so many eyes all the time. There's so many guys who are just scared of showing their true selves. And I really do understand it because you say the wrong thing one time, blows up on social media. Like you're that guy forever. Like I totally understand why guys are more buttoned up these days than they used to be in the past. But to see an authentic personality like that, a guy who just brings it, is unafraid to be his authentic self. That is infectious.
Yeah. He's got a little Dan Campbell in him too, because he's incapable of lying.
Yeah. I don't know about that. There's some things that he definitely said at one point that he starts his rehab at 7 a.m, finishes at 9 p.m.
I believe him.
and goes to bed at 5 a.m. That's what he said. So,
I saw that gaming system he bought. I believe him.
It sounds like a little envy there, Ben.
It was.
He also said he made 350 songs, by the way. I don't know if that actually made the cut that Patrick played, but man.
That's right.
He was clearly a busy, busy man. welcome back, CD. We missed you. All right, we got more questions upcoming on the playoffs. Jared Goff, Hendon Hooker, some good stuff. So let's keep rolling. So Jillian Van Straat, a colleague of ours, shout out Jillian. She hit up our subtext, which is how we take all these questions these days. Go to MLive, any Lions story, you'll see promotions for it. Get with us on that. Jillian asks, wasn't it actually better for the Lions if Philly lost last weekend? I know people were ready for them to clinch the playoffs that night, but it was actually the outcome the Lions wanted, right?
I mean, yeah, in terms of getting a better seed, for sure. But I will just say this. It's the Lions. This fan base has been waiting for this to crumble all year, like certain sections of it. So I think like there's just that portion of the fan base, like just get it done, just get in, just like clinch it immediately. But like, yes, in the long term, in the short term, Philly losing was better for the Lions, potentially getting a better matchup and more home playoff games.
I think Jillian is absolutely right. There's no doubt about it. And I saw some hand wringing on Twitter in the brief moments I spend there nowadays. That place has gone downhill. But no, I get it. You haven't been to the playoffs since 2016. You're ready just to get it over with. I totally get it. But like, you are going to the playoffs. Yes. This is a team, it's more than 99%. They could lose out and still very, 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 very likely make the playoffs. Like, and this is a team going back to locker cleanout day last year. Like, they weren't talking about, oh, we just missed the playoffs by one game. Let's get into playoffs next year. Every person I talked to, Alex Anzalone, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Khalif Raymond, Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson, like they weren't all like Ben Johnson's not like, yeah, I'm going to turn down a $40 million deal to be a head coach in the league to come back and make the playoffs. Like, that's not the goal. The goal is to win the division. The goal is to host a playoff game. The goal is to advance in the postseason. I mean, obviously, the ultimate goal is to make the Super Bowl. And even if that is a outsized expectation or hope, like, you have a three-game lead in the division. You absolutely should win the division. And so, like, when you're talking in that scenario, yeah, like Philly losing that game, it delays you punching your ticket to the postseason and, you know, for a few days, basically. But ultimately, it helps your ability to land the best seed possible to not maybe not even host a playoff game at Ford Field, but maybe two. Like, you wouldn't have to go anywhere in their side of the bracket unless San Francisco, unless San Francisco won out, and then you'd have to go out there. But like, there's no doubt in my mind that the best outcome for the Lions happened in that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Game.
Yeah, I think people were just having fun with the fact that it was a Matt Patricia defense keeping them out of the playoffs, which dagger time, baby.
There was definitely some poetic symmetry happening to that. There was a lot of Matt Patricia camera time in that game. Awesome. It was made me a little uncomfortable as a veteran of the Patricia
years. It is jarring. It's still jarring. It's like, oh my God, that was my life.
Some dark days. Fans only know the surface of it. My goodness. Those are stories for a different day. Yeah. These are good times. Let's not go down the Matt Patricia wormhole because we could do hours of tape on that. Let's not do it. Chris Frick asks, I see a scenario where the Lions end up hosting the Rams in the opening round, which would mean Matthew Stafford returns to where it all began. What thoughts or concerns would you have, and how do you see the crowd reacting to him? So first, the Lions right now, as of today, as we sit here, are the number three seed in the NFC. If everything held as of today, they would host the Vikings in the first round. But there's a pool of wild card hopefuls that are super close to each other, and the Lions could absolutely play the Rams. That would be... For me, selfishly, it's just a selfish bastard that I am. I would just love to see it. Like, just the storylines write themselves. Like, Matthew Stafford making his first return to Ford Field, where he became the greatest quarterback in the modern history of the franchise. Of course, didn't have the team success everyone wanted. It was super polarizing because of it. Eventually gets shipped out of town, goes and wins a Super Bowl, and then comes back to play the first home Lions playoff game ever in Ford Field for the opposing team. Meanwhile, the Lions start Jared Goff, who was unceremoniously shipped out of town in LA and has risen from the ashes in Detroit, and then gets to take on his old team, his old coach, Sean McVay, who had a real falling out with at one point, with a chance to win the first Lions playoff game since 91. I mean, it's like the storylines are juicy as hell.
I don't think we can properly explain how badly we would want that to happen. Like, you just did your best, and I'm like, no, I want it more. Yeah. Like, seriously, there are storylines everywhere. Matthew Stafford getting his first playoff game at Ford Field as an opposing quarterback. Like, just Like, what? Come on, give me that. Like you just said, God, Holmes versus Sneed, like down the line, like seriously, like this franchise has been mirrored in kind of ways of how the Rams built their thing. Not every way, but like, it's just, I want that to happen. I don't think fans are going to boo Matthew Stafford, but it's a playoff game. So once those whistles start blowing, they're going to boo him. But like, I think pregame, like that with one guy, maybe you'd see some. Now here's what I'm curious about. How many Detroit Rams shirt would you see from that set?
Well, what I was going to ask you is, I mean, Stafford jerseys are still like number one, number two, number three. Absolutely. At Ford Field with like Aiden Hutchinson, probably. Yeah, you see a lot more Goffs these days, St. Browns, but like Stafford might be number one, number two, certainly.
Absolutely.
And so like what happens to all the Stafford jerseys?
Oh my God.
Listen, here's what I would say. He's not getting booed. For as polarizing as he was in the media and with some media in particular, not us, but others. He's a polarizing guy for some. Turn on the talk radio, you'll hear it. But like he really like, but then you go to the games and he's adored. And when I was at that the Lions Rams game out west, like the number of like Stafford Lions jerseys you saw out there, like. We saw the whole like Stafford Rams, the Lions thing when he was going to the Super Bowl. Like clearly he's a beloved figure in this fan base in town. Like he's not getting booed, but I think fans would really relish the opportunity to beat him too in the playoffs and get that elusive playoff win against the guy who couldn't get it done for them.
And it would be the most passive aggressive Jared Goff week of all time. So oh, it would man. Be great.
Can you imagine how bad Stafford will be that week to talk to?
A nightmare. Just like he will say nothing. like a chat GPT response.
All right, let's move along. Michael Berry Sr. wants to know, I have been a loyal waiting since 57 fan for 66 years, and I can't believe all the negativity, groaning, and doubting going on the last few weeks, especially considering the success and excitement of the last 2 years and with what seems to be sustainable winning. I can't even remember it being more exciting as a Lions fan than right now with a future to look forward to. Can't we all just enjoy the ride without the gotta have it all right now mentality? Can't we all remember what our goals were as Lions fans last year at this time, or the beginning of training camp, or the start of the season? Ben, I think Michael's question is phenomenal, phenomenally worded. I think it really drives at the heart of a rebuild, changing expectations. What is success? Like some of these questions that get to the heart of what we're seeing now. What are your thoughts on Michael's question?
I kind of spoke to the people thinking opposite of this after the end of last week's game over the Broncos. Was like, man, put it in perspective. The Lions have 10 wins this season. They're one win from a division title. First time in 30 years. But like, it took until week 15 of year three on the beat for me to cover my 10th win by this franchise. Like, that was 2 years ago. Like, this has happened so fast. Like, truly, this was a 1-6 team at the midway point last year. Right. Like, this is what happened unbelievably fast. And they have built something that you can believe in the long-term sustained winning. So I do think the negativity and the groaning is fair when it's directed at the problems on the field. But like, you do need to look at the personnel holes. You do need to look at the holes, because this is still, believe it or not, in the first phase of the rebuild. This is ahead of schedule. Every step of every meaning of that word, this is ahead of schedule with where they are right now. I mean, my God, they have 10 wins and there's three games left, man. Yeah. This is the Detroit Lions. Like, this is so, yeah, I hear you, Michael Berry Sr. I'm with you. You know, it's fair to gripe about like the short-term stuff, but like, there's reason to believe in this being a long-term winner. And this has been a truly, truly special season for this franchise in this city, which has been beaten down with a rough, rough stretch of just disastrous play of all sports.
as we've written and talked about going back to January, clearly there was a window opening in the NFC North with Aaron Rodgers leaving the division. The Lions, who were a young team that was playing really well, who had a ton of draft capital, ton of cap space, clearly looked like the team most capable of jumping through that window of opportunity, right? And now we've seen it. They are four quarters of winning football away from winning the division. Michael is totally right that while you are jumping through that window right now, like your best days are probably ahead of you. As crazy as the thing, they are one of the five youngest teams in the league that have still tremendous amount of resources in terms of financial flexibility going forward. They have a ton of guys, like basically the entire core is locked up beyond this year. Better days are ahead yet. I don't think that's mutually exclusive from looking at a team that's really good right now, particularly on offense, particularly on the offensive line, particularly with that running game. And when you get to the playoffs, you usually need a running game to be able to win these close games. It was hard for me to watch this team go 4-3 out of the bye and really struggle in basically all those wins, and not think they were squandering an opportunity by not playing their best football. And I think that's where, for me, my own personal concern and consternation came from. And that's not mutually exclusive from the fact that, hey, like they're still like ahead, they're ahead of time in terms of the rebuild, and their best days are ahead. Still in the moment, like this opportunity, like you're not going to have, I mean, who are the Vikings starting this week at quarterback?
Nick Mullins.
You're not going to have Nick Mullins starting like final month of the season, playoff type games with huge implications for the division every year. I mean, look around, like the NFC East is a bloodbath. Like you don't know what's going to happen from year to year. Like the Lions' opportunity to clinch this thing, to make hay in the playoffs, to bring playoffs to Ford Field, two playoff games to Ford Field is now. And when they started playing bad football, even in their wins, that's where my personal concern came from, even with, you know, some of the green grass they have ahead of them going into 2024.
Absolutely. And it was like the Jared Goff spike in turnovers, because it was like, oh God, I see like flashes of like 2021 coming here. So like the short-term concern, absolutely. And like, yeah, they were not, this is a good team. It's okay to expect stuff out of this team, but it is important to remember how fast this has happened. And like you said, that on paper, there are brighter days ahead.
So speaking of 2024, Eric W. asks, do you think the Lions re-sign Goff in the offseason or keep their options open to see what they have in Hendon Hooker? It seems like Goff is very good when behind an elite line, but bottom tier in the league when not due to injuries. Great quarterbacks make time in the pocket with their pocket presence and feet. This seems like a liability for Goff as we play better teams in the playoffs. Thoughts on Goff in the present and future?
I do think Goff will be re-signed this offseason. I don't like we've said, I think getting him in the 2 or 3 year extension range would be perfect, not just for Hendon Hooker, but just to also keep your window open and to keep that pay. Like, it's going to be a big contract, whether it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, it's going to be a massive contract. You can thank Daniel Jones's agent for that. And but yeah, I do think like this is a team that's entered their win now window. They're not gonna jump off of Goff, the guy who is, like it or not, kind of taking them this far, because when they've played their worst ball is when he's played his worst ball this season. So I do think they re-sign Goff this offseason. I think it happens.
I think it's like 60-40. They sign him to a new deal. I think it's more likely than not. Yeah. But I think that, like, listen, they didn't spend a 7th-round pick on Hooker. It was a 3rd-round pick. Like, that's a significant investment. And clearly, they think he's going to be part of their future in some capacity. Clearly, Hendon Hooker's not playing football this year for the Lions. Probably not next year if, you know, like health maintains and everything. But when you talk about the future of this team, you know, I think they're trying to leave their options open, as any team that's trying to build sustainable winning does in this league. I mean, when you have a Brock Purdy, it opens up all of your options, because not only do you have quality quarterback play, but you have $45 million a year to spend around him. And I think all things being equal, like, listen, like Brad Holmes, what he said last year is totally right. It's a lot easier to get worse at that position than better when you have a guy like Jared Goff. And I think they are invested in him for the, obviously for the now, obviously for next year. You can win with Jared Goff. You just have to build a lot around him. And with the escalating costs in his new deal, it's going to be in the $45 million per year range. It's going to limit what you can do elsewhere on the roster. You still have to sign Amon-Ra to a $1 billion deal. I mean, he might make $20 million a year in his new deal or somewhere in that range. Penei Sewell is coming down the pipe. Don't look now, but Taylor Decker, I think next year's his contract year at left tackle. Left tackles are very expensive. Or you're going to spend a 1st-round pick on a new guy. Like, that's significant capital that's going to be outlaid soon too. So they love Jared Goff. He's here for the present. He's here for 2024 at least. You can win with that guy, and they've clearly built an offense, a structure around him that can lead to that kind of success when everything is right. But having an out, if Hendon Hooker becomes the guy who's at Tennessee just destroying folks, and you're able to get out from that contract of Goff in 2025 or 2026, mm-hmm. whatever it is, it opens up the world to you. And I think that's a lottery ticket the Lions bought.
Absolutely. I mean, we're in agreement on that. Like, if you can get Goff 2 years, maybe an out on after that third or second year, that's a winner across the board.
Justin Daniels wants to know, with Ben Johnson almost certainly leaving for a head coaching job, do you guys have a read on any current coaches that could be his successor, or is that person maybe not on the staff right now? What are your thoughts?
The two internal candidates that come to mind are Scotty Montgomery, obviously, and I think Tanner Engstrom has kind of followed a Ben Johnson path. But like Dan has shown that he's not afraid to go outside of his coaching tree for a coordinator either. So like, just wait and see. Like Frank Reich is an interesting thought, just based on how mm-hmm. those guys interacted at joint practices. I mean, that's a guy that's a head coach that's had some success in this league, some recent success. So like, yeah, those are the two internal guys. He's shown that he's not afraid to go outside his circle.
The Lions seem to have a thing for former Lions players on the coaching staff too.
Yeah.
Craig Reich played a season.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, like the Lions are 10-4. They're one of the hottest rebuilds in the team. They have, their best years are probably ahead of them. And they have a good quarterback, a phenomenal offensive line, a really good running back tandem, one of the best slot receivers in the league. Like, this is going to be a very attractive job if/obviously when Ben Johnson leaves. So it behooves Dan Campbell to explore his options externally. And I think Frank Reich is a great name to consider. Maybe he goes a different direction. I don't know. You know, I mean, Ben Johnson was a surprise. Mm-hmm. I thought Anthony Lynn was something of a surprise before that. So, you know, we'll see what Dan Campbell does. But in terms of internal candidates, I think Engstrom would be a candidate.
Yeah.
I think Scotty Montgomery would be the preferred choice. He's almost, it feels to me a little bit like he's being groomed for that. You know, he's an assistant head coach here. He's not just a running backs coach. He's had coordinator responsibilities before. He's been a head coach at the college level. He's been very plain. Even the day we met him after the hire, he's like, yeah, I want to be a coordinator and I want to be a head coach. And I think those developmental opportunities are why the Lions were able to land him in the first place, because he was a very attractive candidate last offseason. So you never know. And Engstrom, obviously, you know, he's been super close with Ben Johnson. I just think that if I were to go with a hunch, if it was an internal candidate, I think it would be Scotty Montgomery.
Yeah. And like we alluded to, it's an attractive job. It's a very attractive job, especially if the guy who you're replacing just got a head coaching job.
Yeah. Aaron from Novato, California. I always like it when guys put the just to see all the places we get questions from. It's pretty cool. Aaron wants to know, you mean you haven't seen a 35% to 85% increase in questions? Maybe we have.
We did this week.
Can you clarify the kicker situation from a roster gymnastics standpoint? At some point, isn't Michael Badgley going to run out of practice squad elevations and they will have to create a roster spot for him that is currently being used for depth? The question goes on, but we're running short on time. Basically, what's going on is the Lions cut their kicker this week, Riley Patterson. They're going with Michael Badgley, who started for them last week as a practice squad elevation. He has two elevations left. There's obviously three games left in the season. Plus, there's the playoffs. I'm not really sure how the elevations work in the playoffs, to be honest with you. I'm the Lions, so you know, I haven't had to deal with that. I truly don't know the rule. But to the questioner's point, yes, they're going to run on the elevations. Right now, they're rostering the kicker on the practice squad, which is a neat little trick because it allows them to activate Hendon Hooker and keep the same number of players on the 53-man roster that they would have otherwise with, you know, carrying a proper kicker on the 53. So it's a nice little trick they're doing, but it has a shelf life. And it, at some point before the season finale, we're going to have to see Badgley move to the 53, which then will in turn, they're going to have to cut somebody off the 53. So your thoughts on what they're doing there, I guess.
I've kind of been waiting for this to happen for quite some time. I didn't like when they went with Patterson before the season. I didn't like what I saw throughout the season. And I think that they're going with a kicker that gives them a little more of a ceiling in terms of range and consistency.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Patterson is basically automatic from, I don't know, 45 in, 40 in or whatever. And they preferred that reliability over maybe some more inconsistencies elsewhere. And then once Patterson became unreliable from that distance, there was no use. And I like the kid, but Badgley is better, I just think, and has more distance. And when you go into the playoffs, again, the margins are slim. It's different. It's a different game. You need to be able to score. You need to have more reliability in the kicking game. I think they might have the worst situation going into the playoffs at that position. We are literally running against the clock. We got Aaron Glenn coming through 5 feet away from us as we speak, going to his press conference. So maybe we should wrap this up.